Hey, everybody. On this episode of Book Circle Online, we're going to be talking about America's favorite teenagers. That's right. We're heading to Riverdale to talk about Archie and all his friends. Let's do it.
This is Book Circle Online, featuring in-depth discussion, insight, news, and commentary on all the world's leading book titles and their authors. And now, Book Circle Online.
And now, the Riverdale Carnival presents the Archies.
Take care of the kissing booth while we're singing, Sabrina.
Okay, everybody, here we go with our new hit record, Sugar, Sugar.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Book Circle Online and the Comic Book Exchange. And boy, Archie, he really needs to hit puberty quickly. Holy cow. Hey, everybody, this is the show that talks about your favorite four-color comics and the creators and the people responsible to bringing them to your eyeballs. I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter at HappyGoJackie.
And I'm your Oracle, Lucretia Lyons. You can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one.
I'm Joel Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joel Monique and every week at BlackGirlNerds.com. And this song is my secret guilty pleasure. It's kind of amazing.
And I am your candy girl, and you've got me wanting all of you. I am Lex Michael, all over social media at TheLexMichael.
Oh my, folks, like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Lex Michael's cup is empty. Fill that up so you can keep in, throw a little candy or kisses, whatever you want to throw in there.
Sounds sweet.
You can subscribe to the YouTube channel, and you can also hop in the chat. Lucretia, our resident oracle, has it up and running, so if you want to share anything about comics in particular, or Archie comics as well, just hop in and share your thoughts about that. That's right, folks, we're talking about Archie.
Yes. America's good old boy. I love Archie.
So, okay, I really just right up top wanted to ask you guys, because Archie and the associated stories and company has existed in many forms for many, many decades. 78 years, I believe?
Yeah, I mean, it started off with 1939. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, obviously, these characters have shown up in multiple forms of media across many, many decades. And yes. I wanted to know, before we dive into all of this, as I know we plan to, what was your way in? Like, what was your first encounter with an element of the Archie-verse?
Standing in line at the grocery store in the little paperback, like, comics that they have, little short ones. And that's kind of the first comic I ever read. It just explains why I didn't get into comics for a very long time, because the ones on the original shelves, I was just like, I wasn't interested. It was a very white bread world, and I couldn't really identify with his very squeaky clean living until I got older. And then I was like, oh, I get this comic. There's more. There are layers. I was too young. I didn't understand.
Yeah, at Hastings Entertainment store in Tyler, Texas, a wee child would always look at the comic book section for cooler books like Batman and Hellblazer and Preacher and stuff like that. But I would see these interesting little happy comics like Archie. Only later did I find in Chasing Amy they had way more subtext.
For me, it was my grandparents' barn. They, for some reason, just had a bunch of comics up there in the barn.
And you just discovered Archie books that way?
Yeah. So, yeah, they had a bunch of... yeah, it was just something that my mom and my aunts had as kids when they were growing up. So, just had a barn full of Archie comics.
Interesting.
Your childhood sounds magical.
It does. It sounds so fun and full of whimsy.
No, it's terrible. Heart-rending.
Sleeping in bales of hay with some comics and... That sounds cozy. See, like, okay, so I assume, like, a lot of people, I was aware of Archie comics. You see, like, even just seeing them at the grocery store, like, forever. When I was a kid in the 90s, right, there'd still be Archie and Betty and Veronica Double Digest books up at the checkout counter. And I was aware of it, but I never really picked one up, never read it. A handful of years go by, and I see a little movie, a criminally underrated motion picture called Josie and the Pussycats.
Yes!
There you go.
And I went, this does not seem like something that is directed at me as a viewer, and yet this is, it's speaking to my soul. And they're what? They're friends with Archie.
Yes.
You don't say. And suddenly, the books are on my radar, but I still don't pick one up until fairly recently. And two things happened relatively back-to-back that pulled my focus towards Archie comics. One was 2014, and I'm like clicking through comic book news, and I see a news piece that says Archie Andrews, the famed kid hero of the Archie books, is going to be shot dead,
yes!
concluding this series of Archie comics. And I went, What? Okay.
Is this the bravest choice a comics company has ever made? It might be.
I was like, what now? Okay. I'm paying attention. And then several months later, I think by the end of that year, they announced that they were going to relaunch Archie, and it was going to be Mark Waid and Fiona Staples, which was exciting.
Let me pause you right here. As a lifetime reader of Archie, when you receive this news, how do you react?
Well, I think, I don't know, I mean, I think like many people, like your first entry point to comics, where a lot of people can be Archie because they're just a very simple formula.
Sure.
And then you grow up and you kind of mature to other avenues, whether it be independent comics, Marvel, DC, superheroes and stuff like that. And then I feel like Archie's just kind of, they're always relying on just a fresh blood coming in. But then I feel like in 2010, when the original founder, he passed away, the family took it over, they decided to do some really radical things for a company that had been kind of formulaic. Really started pushing the boundaries of what they could do with those characters. And that's when you get to see Life with Archie, where he marries both Betty and Veronica.
Yes,
you get to see
the two different dual universes.
Yes.
You do a horror line, you do a whole reboot. I mean, this has been, is really the last 3 or 4 years has really shown that this company is willing to go out on a limb and take these characters that you wouldn't normally think they'd go.
And do it well.
And so even when I saw this relaunch was happening, even when I saw it was that team on the book, I went, wow, they're both great. Mm. I still wasn't quite at the point where I wanted to rush out to a store and pick it up. I was like, that's cool. It existed on the periphery of my consciousness. One day, good friend of mine from high school, big comic book guy, who like me is very much the, look at the Avengers punch that evil robot school of comic book reader, shoots me a message and he's like, dude. I'm like, yeah. He's like, so I just picked up the new Archie book. I'm like, yeah. And he goes, it's really good. And I go, okie doke. Okie doke, picked it up. It's really good.
Yeah. My mind was blown by that first issue of Archie. I was like, I'm an Archie fan. Like, it took that one book to just be like, okay, this is, I want this. Like, I love the idea that they went for teen dramas, which we're seeing comics pick up a lot of teen-centered, like, young adult comic books, which is really cool. But then on top of that, to have, like Betty and Veronica always seem so silly. Like, I was like, these sexist, awful characters fighting over Archie, the, like, little ginger in the corner? I didn't understand it at all.
That was totally the confusing part of that
book
for me.
Yes, I'm like, y'all could be together.
A ginger that's not Prince Harry.
Well, especially, okay. Sorry, any redheaded viewers we may have for that little spat of cruelty that you just experienced.
If you can see me, my hair is red, but it's not natural.
But two, more so than even that, the fact that central to the character of Archie Andrews is that he's a gigantic klutz who screws up everything that he possibly has an opportunity to, through no ill intention, he's a walking calamity.
It was horribly confusing. So when we get to see Betty as like a smart, tech savvy, like she's fixing engines and she's legitimately friends with Archie and confused about her feelings, which is a much better storyline than like F you Veronica, and then Veronica comes in and she's fly as hell. I was like, these are characters I actually want to read about and care about. I'm so glad they did the revamping. Not to mention the new characters they brought in. Kevin Keller, right? Is that his name?
Yes. Which was their first openly gay character under their banner.
And who Archie died for.
Yes.
Archie took a bullet for Senator Kevin Keller so that he could go on and complete his mission and be of service to the United States. And Archie's like, my life doesn't even mean anything. And took that bullet. And it's a beautiful, kind of heart-wrenching moment. But Kevin Keller is cool for a lot of reasons. Not only is he the first gay character in the Archie universe, but he's also the first time they had to call for a second printing. Was because the Kevin Keller book came out.
It was in 2010, I want to say.
I think so, yeah.
And yeah, the first time, which was insanely cool. And then that book, too, it launched, there was a digital first miniseries, and then they did another series, which I believe it won at least one GLAAD award. So that was very cool. It took till 2010, I guess.
But we got there.
But we did get there.
And with a really cool dude, and his husband is really awesome, too, whose name I can't remember right now. But I am loving the new stories and the new direction that they're going in. So I became a fan of Archie, and I never would have thought.
Well, it's nice because we've talked at various points about reboots in terms of other comic publishing lines, whether it be DC and our issues with some of that. The nice thing about Archie is even though when they first started off after 2010, kind of experimenting with Life with Archie or Afterlife with Archie, they still kind of stayed on model. But it was interesting now with Mark Waid's and Fiona Staples' revamp, they just kind of started from scratch, completely over, give the characters slightly different looks. Enough that they're recognizable as those characters, but still tweaked enough with a modern sensibility.
What I think is fascinating is that it was a thought that I had a number of times reading the main Archie book, and then also, to a slightly lesser extent, but was still very much there, reading the Jughead book that's running right now, the Chip Starsky Jughead book. Tonally, it doesn't feel very far removed from a CW show. which I think is doubly interesting because they're doing an RGCW show that is tonally so far removed from what it seems like they're doing in the books.
Yes, I don't know if you guys have had an opportunity to see the photo. But there's this great picture released from the new, like, just like a promo picture that EW released. And it kind of got me really excited. Like, they're in the classic diner. They've got the red neon surrounding them in the frame. And then you've got Archie with Betty and Veronica in the booth. And then poor Jughead and Josie on the outside window just tapping, trying to get in. Not quite part of the group, but there. And it kind of got me jazzed. Like, I also really excited they're going for a murder mystery twist, which is cool. If you guys watch the CW's lineup, which I do religiously, iZombie is also a property there, and they deal a lot with zombies in the Evil Dead, and this is like a murder mystery, and I'm really hoping we get a crossover that is akin, similar to our Flash, Supergirl, Arrow crossover.
I mean, it wouldn't be a first for the Archieverse characters to have to deal with the undead. They launched the Afterlife with Archie series. Yes. When was that? Was around the same time, I want to say 2010-ish.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they've had a really, sadly, a spotty publishing record, but they're trying to get that at least more back on track. Yeah. But I mean, speaking of crossovers, I mean, Archie, they've crossed them over with many. We're talking about Predator, Punisher. Yes. Archie meets the Punisher is great.
Archie versus Sharknado, which is ridiculous. Just as ridiculous as you hope it would be, because it's like a 50s beach movie. Well, but then like, the tone of it is like 50s beach movie. And it's then like here comes a giant like cyclone of sharks. It's just brilliant. It's so much fun to not have to take yourself so seriously with comics, which I think is kind of a... It can wear on you to be like, is Cap Hitler is... Mm. Is Batman going to continue to ruin the lives of children? Like, it's just really heavy material you gotta wade through sometimes. And then to, like, turn to Archie. And even though sometimes they're dealing with serious subjects, the manner in which it's handled tends to be very lighthearted. And I really appreciate that there's a book that you can go to like that.
Yeah, and I think Riverdale, the TV series, will fit the comics. I know several people are like, what, a murder in Archie? And it's like, no. Archie progressed as it grew on. And two, the whole point of adding the murder is like, this doesn't happen here. Sort of, it was Pleasantville sort of thing to sort of break that mold and
very,
start this idea.
Very Twin Peaks-y in that way.
Yes.
Which is how someone described it. Twin Peaks meets... Vampire Diaries, I think is what they said. Which I'm like, this is a really off combination.
That's a weird pitch. I like it. Yeah. Take my money.
It's right, exactly. Like, I'm intrigued. Like, I'm ready to see sexy Archer.
Sure.
Like, out here trying to slay and get dates. And it sounds so ridiculous. But again, that's what I think makes these books really great, is that they are ridiculous, but they're fun, and they're home. They're people you're familiar with.
I feel like you say you're so ready for sexy Archie, but to go back a minute, I feel like he's drawn very... They're all drawn very... it's clearly a throwback to the way they were drawn in some of their earlier incarnations, so none of them look especially egregiously handsome. You imagine that for a character like Archie Andrews to be fighting off women left and right like he does, especially when he is such a disaster, dude must be the prettiest man in Riverdale.
Well, when you see like what he first looked like in his very first appearance,
he's
back
got
the, in 41,
teeth, right?
Oh, it's just, I mean, look at this guy.
This is amazing.
That's who it started such
but a... But look at how he rides in there with such confidence. Like, I will stand on my bike, like, knee-jacked, like, Captain Jack style, arms crossed, like he's prepared to take on the world.
As it says right in there, here you are, gang, America's newest boyfriend, Archie Andrews.
Yes.
Christened Archibald. He hates Archie, so if you value life and limb, call him Chick.
Right. That's now he's right. yes. Chick Andrews. I remember this very vaguely.
Yeah, a lot of people really, that's clearly stuck. A lot of people are like, yeah, call me Chick. No.
But it actually fits so perfectly with the character of Archie and the world around him and his relationship with that world that he'd say, I refuse to be called Archie. And of course, that's what he becomes known as. So really quickly, you jump back to the earliest incarnations of Archie. Did you read up at all about what was going on? Are you aware of what was happening with this company just pre-Archie, before it was Archie Comics?
No, I know they started off in 39.
So in 1939, it was founded as MLJ Comics by Maurice Coyne, Luis Silberkleet, and John L. Goldwater. And they formed it, they picked the name by basically taking each of their first initials. And like many comics companies that were existing in the very, you know, the infancy of the industry, they were doing superhero comics. And what I thought
patriotic.
Was...
superheroes.
What I thought was very interesting is that there were comics in, I believe, January or December of, it was 1940. It predates the creation of Captain America by at least a few months. They had a character called The Shield. And The Shield was certainly one of, if not the very first, American-themed patriotic hero, which I thought was fascinating.
Yeah, it's, I mean, and Archie's, as much as they've done, or Archie Comics, MJL, Was also, I mean, they've got Red Circle, which is a big publisher in the '90s. They're doing The Shield, doing The Fly, Black Hood. They tried various revamps on them. One that I thought was actually kind of interesting was back in the early '90s that they did. DC kind of took it over as like the Impact Comics
line.
That's
right, yes.
Yeah, you can find a lot of those runs on eBay. Some of them are up on Comixology. But like Mike Paroback and Mark Wade and Brian Augustin, they did a bunch of writing and drawing for some of those characters. So very intriguing. But now it's folded back over. Red Circle's, I kind of was a little bit doing some stuff on their own, but now they're back part of as the Dirk Circle initiative with Black Hood and stuff for Archie Comics. So.
Something else I thought was cool, John Goldwater, in addition to co-founding this company, he was also one of the founders of the Comics Magazine Association of America.
Yes, which is for the Comics Code.
Creators of the Comics Code. Also was, for a while, served as a National Commissioner for the Anti-Defamation League.
Which is so weird, but kind of awesome.
I was like, that's really interesting.
This guy was fully in comics. Speaking of, like, there's a lot of inspirational stories that come out of Archie that, just from the creator's side, Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa, who I hope that's how you say your name, apologize if not, but Roberto was a fan of Archie, like, coming up, and he made this play when he was living in Atlanta, which I forget the name of, but the brunt of it was Archie comes out of the closet and moves to New York.
That's right.
And, like, the gang comes and visits him up in New York, and they fight, like, censorship. So it's like this whole idea of like not being censored and coming into your own from these characters that we know from their youth and are very like vulnerable and kind of naive. So it's like a really great concept for a place. He was sued by the Archie Company. They said that they were worried it was going to taint the image of Archie. So he changed the name, put on the play anyway. 10 years later, chief creative executive officer, I think? I can't remember his title, but he, like, runs Archie now. Like, he creates the stories. Yeah. So they were like, hey, you know, that new take? We like it. Come back. Do it. And now he's written all these, like, amazing stories and brought so much diversity to the Archie comics. I just think it's a lot of fun when you can see a creator, like, just be passionate about something and the company then realizes, like, we could maybe use some of that passion here.
Yeah, and, you know, even Riverdale's got Betty and Veronica making out on
the trailer. There's a lot of debate. So the actress that plays Veronica, I think, came out, and she was like, they're not together. Relax. It's going to be the same Archie you always knew. But I'm kind of hoping that, you know, I mean, Betty and Veronica are the hottest people in Riverdale. Like, why wouldn't you date one another?
That makes so much more sense than either of them dating Archie.
I'm saying my exact same reaction. I was like, they seem to have more in common. They seem to, like, they're friends. They like each other. Why are you practicing? I'll be very upset if they're just practicing. Guys, I don't want that CW. We'll see. I'm nervous about it. These characters belong to me.
I guess, you know, one thing that's just with Archie, that we're talking about just a lot of first experiences was just over in the shopping marts, checkout counters and things like that. I feel like Archie's always been a good job about keeping their content easily accessible in terms of, because Marvel and DC for a while they did like the digest versions of their books, and then they kind of went out of fashion. They just didn't think there's anybody money to be made at newsstands, just started doing more of the comic book shop route. But you could always count on Archie Comics being right there at the checkout counter in those little digest sized formats, and there's just something being said for just making your product easily accessible for people to find to give to young kids.
They're a resilient company, to say the least, because Archie kind of ebbed and waned in and out of popularity, but they have stayed strong, even to the point where in the 70s and the 80s a Christian publishing company came to Archie and they were like, yeah, we want to purchase part of the rights to the characters so we can tell these like Christian narratives.
It's Spire Christian Archie. Comics.
It was amazing. I was reading up on it and they're like, it was frequent that the kids would meet a Christ-like figure who would preach to them on the beach. And I'm like, this is beautiful. Like, this is what I love about Archie, is the fact that you can kind of put them in any universe, in any situation. And the kids, because they just feel like your regular high school kids, can go on and have all of this action. And it's still
and that's
entertaining
why there,
and
that's
funny.
Why there's actually a book that you can read called Archie's Parables.
Archie's Parables! Yes! Oh, like, that it's just inspiring. It's like a great title for a book. I have to get all of these. Like, I must read all of them.
It is fascinating, too, talking about the history of the company and how resilient they are, because while other interests were occasionally taking pieces of it or inserting themselves, they would also, the ownership of the company would transfer several times over a couple of decades. It was taken public, then it was reverted to private ownership, goes public again, and every time, you know, there's obviously going to be quite a bit of, you would imagine, some turnover, some, you lose a step or two along the way, and then the company would just pick right back up and go, hey,
back together.
Still going. Look at them. Look at Archie and Pal, still having fun.
Our product is solid.
No, because I guess it's going to be said, like, certainly, like, with Elseworlds and things like that, you do see different takes of different characters in different universes, like with DC or Marvel, with their various multiple universes that you can do different takes, but it's just, I feel like, in a sense, they're always going to come back to just, like, the safe, steady ground, because, you know, they're, I mean, there's a lot more interest, especially now. It's, you know, TV shows, films, action figures, anything like that. That also, this is just, like, the source of the IP, but we don't keep it close because we don't want you to really taint the image. But I feel like Archie's willing to really go and push the boundaries of what these characters are. And it's really cool to see a publisher just be willing to show you how far you can do these things.
And it's exciting that you can have these you know, pals, characters from the 1940s face a horde of the undead.
Yes.
And still retain the internal qualities that make them the same character while being masked with this incessantly dark tone. It's cool. That shouldn't work. In theory, that should not work.
There's no way Archie should be able to take down the Predator. And yet, when you're seeing him fight, you're like, Archie's got a chance. And you're right. It's wholehearted, like, just good time fun. And it doesn't need to be grounded in reality. No. I don't ever want Archie to feel too grounded in like, a real world. I like the bubble they create.
What's insanely cool about the Jughead series that's going on right now is that, generally speaking, it's got a similar tone. It takes place in the same pocket of the same universe. Mm-hmm. But in every issue that I've read so far, at some point, Jughead falls asleep, passes out, and has an extended dream sequence where you get to do these crazy genre things. He dreams that they're superheroes. He dreams that they're time police. He has there's a Game of Thrones one called Game of Jones, and I chuckled. So you actually get to, you stay grounded in your reality, but you get to go to these other versions of reality within that world, but the characters still stay the same, and it's really cool.
And what I like about it, especially with Jughead, is the fact that you get to do those little slices, because those were things that they originally did back in the early comics, which they just accepted like as an issue. Yeah, Jughead and the Time Police.
The Time Police thing.
So just to use that, a way to still keep grounded, but still pay homage to those earlier kind of stories that they used to tell.
Speaking of Jughead and the Time Police, great name for a punk band.
Yes! So, do you have any, like, I've only read the new stuff. Are there classic, and the classics they have at the back, but are there classic issues that you would recommend?
For me, you know, I have to admit, my Archie reading is probably the lowest of all the comics.
Have a lot of comics on the list.
Archie is spotty, hit and miss there, but there is a sweet spot. Like, they're back, I feel like, in the 60s, just the look and the style and the artwork. Yeah. That, if I really like the look of the characters then, because I feel like once it got to the 80s, 90s, they almost became just, I don't want to say like a cliche, but just, the art was just, it just didn't hit that sweet spot for me. But there's something about like the 50s and 60s look of it, that just, the way it was penciled and rendered, that it just was the best representation of those characters to me, at least in that iteration of them.
So check Silver Age Archie.
Yes.
Copy. Will do. The other thing I wanted to talk about was we have a lot of changes coming up. So in Jughead,
yes.
One thing that's really cool is they like this idea that Jughead used to be, like, wealthy, like, beyond rich. Like, his new backstory is very exciting to me.
Sure.
Especially, because I feel like it's hard to verbalize what it feels like to going from the most popular to the least popular. And I feel like it's a thing because it cycles. Kids go through a lot. And so to read, like, how Jughead's become so tainted and jaded and why he doesn't want to,
he doesn't
be around anyone.
Anything. Nope. He just likes to sit and eat hamburgers,
like, he's
basically
not lazy. He's just been disillusioned with the world. And I like that they give this teen, like, a reason to be angry and angsty and a reason to be Archie's best friend. Like, Archie's the one good guy in this town. Like, I will die for him. Like, when he's trying to save Archie, is it in the band situation, there's this moment where he's like, do you remember? I can't remember.
I remember it. It's been longer since I've read the main Archie book than the Jughead book. I know the scenario. Not well enough to help you.
This is really a problem. There's a moment where he, like, has to jump in and save Archie, and he organizes, like, 50 people independently. Like, not gets them together to make a plan, but strategically moves around different students so that Archie can get what he needs. And it's something silly. Like, he just wants to play the guitar in a concert, and Jughead's like, I got this. Sit down. And it was beautiful, like, seeing that level of friendship, the fact that he is represented as asexual, like, he has just no interest in people at all, period. It's exciting, and I was really hoping we were going to see that in Riverdale, because it's a new iteration. We don't see that kind of character a lot, but apparently he's going to be having relationships. Cole Spruce, who's playing the character, is like, I'm going to work hard to, like, steer them toward asexuality. Right now he's having relationships with women. He thinks there's a chance for growth. We'll see. Chat, feel free to let us know, like, how you feel about that. I have a strong feeling. I want him to be asexual in the show.
See, it's what I'm thinking about, because I can't really comment on that till I see it. What I'm thinking about right now is what I said a minute ago about how the main body of the new Jughead series, the story is very grounded. And then I went, well, wait a minute. Actually, what the Jughead, the first arc, really is about is this, like, disgraced former CIA spy turned reluctant paper pusher, pamphlet publisher, becomes their new principal, Mr. Weatherby gets fired, and basically tries to brainwash and recruit children into becoming soldiers. So I walk that back. It's actually pretty bonkers.
But you know what?
That was a plot on Chuck.
But in college level. But
I love
yeah.
it.
Guys, watch that show.
I feel like that speaks to Chip Zdarsky's writing talent, which is surprising because we know he's a fantabulous artist. So when I found out he was going to be writing Jughead, I was like, well, I have to see this because the guy is kooky. He held his own convention outside of an actual convention at one point. He like set up an actual stand, table, booth, and did a signing outside of a convention because he thought it was too expensive to get in. Like
Nerd
that
HQ?
That is Chip Zdarsky.
Again, that's Chuck.
Excuse me. Okay. Yeah. We're going to watch Chuck eventually, Lucretia. It will happen. But I feel like his ability to make everybody feel real and like they would actually be in these scenarios, despite the fact the scenarios are always cranked to 11, really speaks to his dual talent.
I think it really is to his credit as a writer that it took until just now for me to go, this is way crazier than the other Archie series I read. But the other thing that's really cool that we touched on really briefly a few minutes ago is the fact that in these current run of Archie books, your last 10 pages or so, they're printing these classic strips, whether it's a classic Archie strip or obviously in the Jughead books, some classic Jughead strips. What I love about the Jughead books is that Zdarsky will do a page basically setting up the classic strips you're about to read, and then a paragraph will end. They'll be like, okay, don't read any further. Go read it. Come back. You read it, come back, and he's like, how crazy was that? like, so what I'm wondering is, maybe, Frank, you know more about the history than I do, or Joelle, or anybody knows what some of their intentions were writing it. You can't have an internet connection without seeing a crazy out-of-context panel from Archie, where it's like, is this just did the vernacular change, and is that all that was going on here? Or is it just that, you know, they didn't think that they had to fill in all of those cracks because audiences were reading far more casually, they weren't reading between the lines as much? Or was some of this craziness always intentional? Like Zdarsky points out, if you read the classic Jughead strips, Jughead's wacky inventor uncle, like, pretty clearly killed a dude and is probably guilty of many other crimes. And it's something they never really address. And I'm reading these classic issues going, this is pretty clearly there's something going on here, but I don't know if this was meant to be intentional or not.
It's always interesting. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I love how I wasn't included in the possibly could know that. Totally true, but it was just funny. Yes, right.
Well, no, just to look back at comics from the 40s, 50s, 60s, and just the way that it's written, where the writer, whether it be just like, oh, you know, I'm just tired of being in this kind of formula we've got to be in, so see how I can kind of tweak and push it and just see what I can get away with. How much of it's that? And then how much you're just like, oh, I'm just going to write a story and not really, I just kind of write this plot and not really think about any of the real world consequences that now today audiences being a little bit more savvy about the art form or read back and go like, wait a minute.
Gaps here. I chalked it up to the fact that comics just moved at a faster pace back then. In Frank's instilling all of these great Silver Age comics for me to read, I've been like, oh, these move. There's like not a lot of like emotional reflection or like pondering what the next steps are. They're just like, and go. And so that's kind of how I figured these were playing out.
And I'm still thinking about that crazy inventor uncle of Jughead and like totally fan casting him in Riverdale. I'm sorry, I missed all of that. But
yeah,
like he kind of acts like Rick on Rick and Morty, but is played by John Noble. Like, guys, get on that, Berlanti.
Yeah. I'm in.
So I will say, like, you know, you read some comic books from that era, even with characters that you follow constantly and you have a way into that world. Sometimes it can feel so dated that it's a little hard to get into. Some of these old Archie strips, yes, you can tell they were written in an era that we don't live in anymore. But man, there is a lot of entertainment to be found in many of the just the sheer what of it all. Is very rewarding.
No, I think it's an impressive art to write a story that, other than like you were saying, like the grammar, things like word usage, like changing throughout the decades, but that's still in the heart of the story is universal. You can read it anytime and still at least, you know, have some kind of way into it.
And so many classic stories that you see kind of troped over and over again. Like again, the only older comics of Archie that I've read are the ones that are in the back of the new books. But the very first issue has like a carnival exploit thing where Archie's gonna like walk a tightrope, like a high wire tightrope, and then winds up falling, which would have definitely killed him, into like a spinning cotton candy machine. But it's like just so cute and like kitschy. I love it. And then on top of all like the amazing like history and legacy of Archie, we even dived into the fact that it has two incredibly successful spinoffs in Sabrina the Teenage Witch and Josie and the Pussycats. Like we briefly touched upon the movie being your entry into this universe, but Josie and the Pussycats had not just a movie, not just a TV show, not currently a successful comic, but now they're going to bring her into Riverdale as well. More changes, guys. She is no longer a rocker. She's in a Destiny's Child style singing group.
Which I'm upset about because I personally love the Tara Reid, Josie and the Pussycats
movie.
And it's
so
like,
good.
I love that they were rocker girls, that they weren't pop. Yes. And so that really offends me.
I'm a little concerned because I like seeing a girl shred on a guitar. We don't often get that. And with, you know, Star and Empire, we have all these like pop girls out right now, which is great. Pop is, it's got its place in history, but it would have been cool to see some female rockers.
Yes, definitely would have, but like, okay, if we're going to use the movie as the model, and we should for everything, I feel like most acts, that maybe I'm totally wrong on this, but I feel like that type of music isn't really happening as much with these smaller, like, local, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like, I don't know, you get three people in a room, it's easier to sing soulfully together than it is to do, like 90s
I'm going to push back on that, because, like, if Riverdale is anything like my small community was, which I think Riverdale's like all small communities, you've got
mine's
your
Port
local
Charles.
Garage bands. You've got your local, like, you know, angsty punky kids. And I just think it would have been really cool to see black girls shredding a guitar because Josie is black in the new Riverdale series.
Yes, with the advantage of hindsight on what I just said, I realize it makes no sense.
So, I don't know. We'll see. It could be cool. It could work out. I don't know. I'm excited about it. It's cool. I'm hoping they bring Sabrina in because I would like magic and the undead.
That'd be cool because many other people, their entry may have been Sabrina with Melissa Joan Hart for the longest time. Yeah.
Forever, I had no idea there was any connection.
I didn't either. Same. Yeah. It took forever. Somebody's like, oh no, Sabrina's from the Archie universe. I was like, what?
Well, the current run of Jughead, the current arc in the Jughead books, Sabrina is the featured guest star.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
And they've got a really nice lineup. In addition to Jughead, who Chip Zdarsky left the title, but Ryan North, who writes the Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, is writing it now.
That's the perfect person to hand it off to.
So it doesn't lose a step. If you liked it with Chip Zdarsky, you'll still love it underneath Ryan North as well. Then you've got, of course, Archie. You've got Betty and Veronica, written and drawn by Adam Hughes.
Which I haven't started yet, but I'm hearing amazing things.
It looks, I mean, I love Adam Hughes' art. The story is like, very talky. Very talky. I'm like, wow, Adam, you got a lot to say. All right. And then we got Reggie and Me, which is interesting because it's Reggie's dog is the your point of entry for this show. So it's all about, like, you know, what's it like having Reggie as an owner? Like, oh, this guy.
That's wonderful.
And then, of course, the digital series that Lex was mentioning earlier, we got Life with Kevin. So it's Kevin Keller.
Just thinking of Reggie, just right now on Adam Carolla's podcast, on all of them, they're having to do these Riverdale live reads like we do here sometimes to keep our doors open. But, yeah, it's just funny because he's like, oh, there's no Reggie the dog in this version. Hopping around.
This ain't your dad's Archie, kids.
Do you listen to it, too? That's pretty much what it is.
Yeah?
Sweet. It does worry me. As much as I'm excited to see a new Archie series, because as Joelle and I were talking about before, Archie has done tried to do a couple attempts onto the live screen.
Yes.
Which have not been that successful. I mean,
if you're on YouTube, once the show ends, head over there, find to Riverdale and back again. You don't need to watch the whole thing because it's nearly impossible to get through, but just like jump in 10 minutes and see Archie at the chocolate shop. It's a mess, but it's beautiful. Like, it's a terrible mess.
When was this made?
1990.
Thank you.
Is that recent?
Yeah.
It looks like it's shot in the early 80s,
doesn't
it?
You know why? It's like, because you showed me a clip of it before we started, and it looks like the terrible picture quality. I mean, it's YouTube, so they could have streamed it in HD. It looks so terrible, and it's clear that nobody has made any effort to restore this material since the early 1990s, I suppose.
No need to preserve it.
My worry, though, like with Riverdale, I hear that, and I feel like, is it like Smallville? You're almost kind of slightly embarrassed of like the source material. So what's a cool name that we can give this that people will still like be intrigued? Like, if you just call Archie, who knows gonna watch it?
So is he not? Is he not gonna grow his buck teeth until the last episode? And he runs at the camera and black credits.
Oh my gosh!
I love that we can all hate on Smallville here, except Justin Hartley.
I don't even know Smallville well enough to hate on it.
And Jensen Ackles was in there a little bit, but yeah, you know,
terrible
those parts
show,
were good.
But classic.
It's just just frustration watching that show. But hopefully, just other than like the quirky name aside, Riverdale will be exciting adaptation of these characters.
Well, I'm hoping as long as it doesn't fall into the we've got to stretch the story that Smallville fell into. Like Smallville was like, well, you can't be Superman yet, and I feel hopefully you won't have that problem with Riverdale because the characters just are what they are, and we don't really have any expectations for them to grow into anything. So I'm hoping it won't fall into this. Don't do this to me, CW. You did it with Arrow. I just hope he doesn't go with Arrow's route, which is just like
Arrow is
overtly
just fine right
sexual.
Now.
No, I disagree. Overt sexuality and then like too many people. That's all Arrow's problems right there. So that's what I'm hoping. I hope they don't make it
sexy. I'm hoping for something closer to Supergirl or Flash.
Yes.
When they go a little bit dark, since clearly this is going to be a slightly darker interpretation.
Yeah.
At this point, I was talking about this too before we jumped on the air. Once Riverdale starts airing, I will be watching 6 currently running shows on the CW.
I'm so proud. Yeah.
I never thought that I would be this person, but the reason I have become this person is because they're killing it with some of these comic book properties. I mean, yeah, we could talk about how Arrow's had some ups and downs, but once they hit a stride, they do exceptionally well, and they keep giving me exactly what I want from these properties, even when, at first, I go, yeah? Hmm. So, I have high hopes.
Okay. It'll be interesting because with Riverdale, at least they're going to be teenagers in high school, but this is going to be in real time. So after 4 years, they're going to have to go to college or whatnot after that. So it'll be interesting to see what that series turns into once they start broadening their horizons, whether college, the real world, things like that.
Hopefully not, like Saved by the Bell goes to college.
Well, at that point, maybe Walking Dead will have ended and season 6 will be Afterlife with Archie, and that'll be your zombie show.
Yes!
Yeah, well, that's true.
Seems right.
Yeah.
I'm there.
Or Cabbage Patch Kids, like on Robo Chicken, when they're like, well, this is what happened to Buffy. We got on to season 9.
Well,
evil Cabbage Patch Kids.
I will be curious to see how they handle the Betty, Veronica, Archie relationship, that little triangle. Because something that's kind of fun and like a goofy conceit in the comic, how long can you really prolong that in a TV series? And that people go like, either just make a choice, whether it's he's with neither of them or he just picks one of them. I can't have this back and forth for years and years and years and years.
Truth.
So, who knows?
I want nothing but that back and forth for a decade.
You say that now, like
every other show.
You say that now.
I say that now. By year 8, I'm going to be like, nope, still awesome.
And see, iZombie is doing it so well that I feel very confident. iZombie does like long relationships. Something crazy out of both people's control happens and they have to break up, start new relationship, fall deeply in love. Uh-oh. Old flame comes back. Problems resolved. Now they're both in love. And what do you do? And that is the kind of triangle that I prefer. As long as they're not, like, catty with one another and it's just not, like, Betty versus Veronica, I just need there to be substance to their relationship.
Well, Supernatural's been running for 12 seasons.
You keep
and
saying
they're
that
not
like
getting
it's a
together.
Good thing. Stop calling that a positive thing. The show needs to end.
They're not together because they're brothers, and that's not okay on primetime, but I was just making a joke.
I'm wondering, too, how many, especially if they are going to be playing with that relationship dynamic, how many episodes, what's the over-under on how many episodes until they create drama by having Veronica Lodge's father threaten to move her out of town? I feel like that's his move. That's always Mr. Lodge's move. Is always, you can't see my daughter. I'm sending her to Switzerland, wherever.
That's going to be first episode.
That's a murder mystery.
Yeah.
And he's so rich, he bought Switzerland and renamed it Switzer whatever just so he could diss Archie.
I love
totally.
Well, as we're coming to wrap up there, why don't we just go around and say, you know, why is the reason that people should take their hard-earned money, their eyeballs, and put them on some Archie comics?
Am I starting? Okay, honestly, the biggest, most hearty recommendation I could give is I genuinely never thought I would be an Archie fan, and now I'm an Archie fan.
Look at that. It doesn't get any better than that. I think that's a pull quote on the back of the next trade paperback.
Nice. I would say if you are like me and care deeply about representation for all, both behind and on the page, Archie is doing it better than any other comic publishing right now. They deeply care about representation and about these characters, and they are not so bogged down in characters that they can't do it well. Everyone stays true to these traditional roles that you've seen them in, and yet somehow evolves perfectly into this new generation, and it's beautiful and exquisitely done. And then on top of that, it's just fun to read. It's definitely worth your time.
It's fun. You know, I love dark shit, guys. Preacher, Constantine, whatever. But, you know, sometimes I like to lighten it up a little bit and throw in some Archie.
I'm sorry, can that be the pull quote on the back of the book? It's fun, you know? Yeah. Lucretia Lyon.
We talked about it before, but a company that is willing to push their characters, just really how elastic they are in terms of style and tone. You're not going to find another publisher that's doing it better on a consistent basis than Archie Comics.
Agree.
One last little fun piece of trivia. In March 2011, a copy of Archie Comics number 1, published in 1942, sold at auction for $167,300, a record for a non-superhero comic book.
Mm. That's right. And it's got a prize place on my mantle, guys.
Frank is actually the real life Mr. Lodge.
That's right. There you go. You know, I took it and I didn't even take it out of the box. I just threw it right in the fire. No one will read this now. It's gone.
Like that new Wu-Tang album.
Wow, okay.
All right, folks, that's going to do it for this episode of the Comic Book Exchange. But as always, folks, thanks so much for liking us on Facebook, giving us those 5 stars on iTunes. Lex, how are you feeling?
A little thirsty for 5-star reviews.
All right, guys, please. Alex Michael needs you now more than ever.
Mm-hmm.
Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Thanks, everybody, for hopping in the chat there. We love hearing your thoughts there. Make sure if you want to continue the conversation with us even after the show's over, you want to just, you know, share some Archie tidbits with us. Lex Michael, where can they find you?
All over social media at TheLexMichael.
Hey guys, I'm Joel Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joel Monique and every week at BlackGirlNerds.com. Head over to my Twitter right now to find why I thought TV was better than film in 2016.
I'm Lucretia Lyon, guys. You can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet since there is only one.
And you can follow me on Twitter at HappyGoJackie. Folks, that's going to do it for this episode of the Comic Book Exchange. We'll see you back here next Wednesday for another hot edition. In the meantime, we'll just let the Archies play us out the way they brought us in.
A frog playing guitar?
Yes, that's right. Bye, everybody.
Managing editor Jason Scalante, executive producers Maria Menounos, Phil Svitek, and Kevin Undergaro. We would like to thank you for tuning in to Book Circle Online. For more discussion, go to bookcircleonline.com. And if you have comments, questions, or book title suggestions, write us at info@bookcircleonline.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this is Book Circle Online. BCO, join the circle.